I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, we are, baby, and it is a Reaction Monday. Big shout out to the fellas on In the Loop, Reg and John Lopez and Figgy Fig. I was listening to them on the way back into the city today. I was coming from the other direction, spent me a little weekend in the hill country with the family. And so nice. I got a good, I'm going to tell you, man, I turned it on. I said, man, let me see if I can get a little Sports Radio 610 in this piece out there. I was about 2 hours on west side of town, man. I sure enough clicked it on that 100.3 HD2. Clear as a whistle, boy.
Nice, yeah.
Clear as could be, man. I said, yep, this is it right here. So if you're out there, you're listening, we greatly appreciate however you're listening, whether you're watching us on YouTube and Twitch, you listen on that AM dial, that FM HD2 dial. It's 100.3 HD2, by the way, if you got that HD radio in your rig. But if not, we'd love for you to download that Audacy app, AUDACY. Download the Audacy app, keep it on a hip, and take us everywhere that you go. Comes in handy when you're working out, comes in handy when you're not in this area. Obviously, as Reg said, he was in, I believe, Tennessee and Nashville for the last week, and he was able to listen. So you can listen any and everywhere that you go. A lot of features on that as well that are really, really cool. So download that Audacy app, AUDACY. Big shout out, happy Indigenous People Day. Right?
Huh?
Did y'all have that?
Yeah.
Is that right today?
Sure.
Yeah.
Happy Indigenous People.
Woo!
Formerly known as Columbus Day, correct?
Okay.
Sir, it still says Columbus Day on my
on your calendar?
Calendar, yeah.
Well, did you type that in there or did you...
No, it's pre-programmed.
It's Apple. You haven't had your Apple update.
No,
it does it
automatically, man.
I'm told it's Indigenous People's Day. So happy
Columbus Day.
In fact, I know there's
freaking Columbus Day,
hey,
bro.
My sister-in-law is off today. Then why the hell are we not off? Why are we not off today, Tyler? What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
These parts,
I think,
man?
It's a good question. We should probably investigate.
Well, I can tell you who wishes he was not off today. I mean, I'll tell you who's gonna remember this Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day for the rest of his life.
Who that?
The former Titans head coach.
No!
Titans fire head coach.
Yeah.
Brian Callahan. He was 4-19 in Nashville. And Tyler, you were a week early, man.
Just 1 week too early.
You were
damn
a week
it.
Early. Tyler
You're
predicted
right
this in his bold hot take.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks back. I guess it was 2 weeks. Two bold hot takes
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it was when we introduced that segment, our The Drive's hot takes.
Yeah, the Titans have fired their head coach Brian Callahan. Again, he was 4-19 in Nashville. Look, I hate that they fired him this early because I was hoping that we'd play him again and we'd get an easy dub with him at the helm.
Are you afraid they're going to be that much better?
Great point. As I was saying, I was like, you know what? I mean, this probably isn't going to change much with Brian Callahan. Offensive-minded head coach, averaged just over 17 points a game in those 23 games that he coached, and he was on the verge of running the second young quarterback that he's laid his hands on in the ground. I don't believe that Will Levis, a guy that he inherited from the previous regime in Nashville. I don't believe Will Levis was set to win Super Bowls and be a starting quarterback in this league anyway, but Will Levis, I mean, was awful under Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
And now you get to Cam Ward, and not that Cam Ward has been awful, because I think in six games or in five games, however many it's been, I don't know that we really know what the hell Cam Ward is or isn't.
No.
But he is going to press conferences after the fourth game of the year talking about, let's be honest, we asked. And he's talking about the team, but it's an offensive-minded head coach that can't get things right. Look, I would like to sit here and say this is about being 4-19. 4-19 is not good. But this guy didn't last 2 years because of the what appears to be overwhelmed with being a head coach. The head coach duties, whether it's managing a quarterback, young quarterback, managing games, knowing the rule book. Managing a team. This is one of those situations where it just seems like Brian Callahan was out over his skis becoming a head coach in the first place.
But, man, you know, his dad's offensive line coach.
Yeah.
His dad's got head coaching experience before in the NFL.
Yep.
And I cannot believe that he would allow, okay, he's going to have some kind of pull, right?
Sure, yeah.
How is he going to allow his rookie quarterback to go out there and talk like that in front of the world, right? In front of the media,
right.
And say that this early on in a season? That, to me, already screams no discipline and dysfunction in the building.
Well, to me, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. There's not some expectations that have been set, some guidelines, if you will, that have been set of how we're going to deal with media and how we're going to keep things in house kind of deal. But the only reason the only way that Cam Ward goes to a media session and makes those kind of comments is because clearly the head coach is not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Clearly there's not an alpha in the building that's going, "Hey man, we got to get this stuff right." Clearly, there is a void in leadership in that building to where literally a quarterback that ain't played five NFL games, who is an alpha, who has left every place he's ever been a better place, that quick said, "Nah, man, this ain't it. This
right.
Enough is enough, man. This ain't it. We got to have a come to Jesus meeting with this group here. I can't keep doing this." So you're right. The simple fact that a quarterback goes to the press conference and says that is a clear indicator of this coach doesn't have control of his young quarterback, of his locker room, of his, of what's being relayed to the media. So no surprise whatsoever, Brian Callahan is out in Nashville.
Jeffrey Simmons yesterday,
called
basically his head coach and the entire staff out. By the way, they just came off of a win. Doesn't matter how they got it. They got a win last weekend against the Cardinals. Lucky, but how do you have like the worst week of practice coming off of your first win of an NFL season? And that's what Jeffrey Simmons said the Titans had this past week. So that maybe his comments after the game told you everything you needed to know.
Well, look, I've been a part of some bad organizations at the NFL level and what I would probably refer to as some bad practices. I don't know that I recall anybody ever going to the media and saying, "Man, we had some bad practices." So again, the simple fact that there's a void in leadership and players feel the need to, whether it's defending themselves, defending their team, clearly voicing some major concern in Nashville, and it results in the head coach Brian Callahan being out. We'll see what direction the Titans go after this. I would assume that the Titans go in a direction of a proven offensive-minded head coach that can do at the very least some very quickly do some positive things with Cam Ward. I mean, that's what you've got to do, right? I mean, you've got to go get an offensive-minded head coach, because the priority, simply number one priority, is that Cam Ward cannot die on the vine. He cannot be a guy that you don't get the most out of.
Yeah. Hell, you can't have two rookie quarterbacks in a row.
Yeah. One just being a number one overall pick.
Flops. Yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah, I got to believe that getting him in a position to succeed and succeed quickly is the key here. It'll be interesting to see how the Titans handle this. I will not be shocked, boys, to be honest with you. I got frustrated on these airwaves last weekend just talking about football in general, about how stupid, I think it was Brian Callahan actually. Brian Callahan comes out after four games and says, "You know, I think Cam Ward, he appears to play better when we're spread and when we use tempo." It took you four NFL games to understand that. Did you watch him at Miami? You drafted him number one overall. What the hell are we talking
about?
Sounds
kind of familiar. Well,
look.
Now, it didn't take four games. It took about three games for us to hear the same thing and see a change here with the Houston Texans, Nick Haley.
Yeah, no, no. Look, it's the craziest thing ever. So I say that to say, if it were me, I would go like the Cliff Kingsbury of the world that have had like MVP level, Pro Bowl level success with young quarterbacks immediately, who, by the way, runs a system that Cam Ward has ran multiple times in college. So it'd be a seamless transition.
Yeah.
And you guarantee yourself that you're at least going to put a good offense out there. You're at least going to know what your quarterback can do. You're at least going to put yourself in a position where you could score some points and win some games. And let's be honest, if we're being completely transparent here, it's easier for an offensive-minded head coach to find a good, solid defensive coordinator these days than it is a defensive-minded head coach to go find a proven pelts-on-the-wall offensive coordinator.
Also sounds very familiar.
We're watching it. We're seeing it. So we will look. I hope. I say that the football guy in me just hopes they get it right and put a good product on the field. The Texans fan in me hopes that they keep hiring guys that can't get it done and can't manage men and ultimately go 4-19 in a year and a half. So who's next, boys? You got a couple of teams out there in the NFL. Arizona and Miami. The Dolphins and the Cardinals is there another somebody out there that may be on the short list of firing a head coach?
If there is, it's a distant third, right?
Yeah.
In terms of like who's next. I mean, before the Giants and Jackson Dart started, you know, really kind of playing better, I think they would have been on the list. They're still there, but the seat is less hot.
New Orleans and New York, they're obviously not because they're first year head coaches. Right. What about Atlanta? If Atlanta, the wheels come off in Atlanta.
Well, what about New York with Aaron Glenn?
It's his first year, he ain't going away.
I know, but. Okay, that was the reason why you'd set – this was only year two for Callahan, right?
Yeah.
And it's not – you told me this. It's not because he went 4-19, but it's because he clearly doesn't know how to coach ball at this level, right? Well, what if that same type of determination, not saying it would be right, but is made in New York? I mean, for an organization that seems to be pretty hasty one way or the other.
Well, it just takes more than five games for me to get there. But he's on his way. He's off to that start for damn sure.
Yeah.
I think it's Miami, boys. Look, I think when we look at Mike McDaniel in Miami, the whole approach. I mean, you sound like you're high every time you're at the deal. And I don't care what it's like. I'm not worried about, boy, that's the face of the Miami Dolphins. I could care less. But to me, like this new age of coach that's coming up in this advanced stat and in these systems that's never called plays, it's never been a head coach. You know, people get they get excited about these guys and fascinated with these guys. But the reality of it is, back to my original point, if you're not an alpha, if you can't lead men through adverse situations, right, then you will not and never, ever, ever survive at the NFL level.
Wasn't that the initial knock on McDaniels, you know, whenever he first took the job? Is like, man, this guy, you know, he's never played before at this level. Like, how is he going to respond to adversity?
Right.
And very early on, it was like, well, holy crap, like, this is such an innovative, you know, next level offensive scheme that he's got. It looks like it's going to work. And until, you know, injuries start coming and there's drama and you put all these different characters in a locker room together and it times get tough, that's what we think we're seeing right now. To me, what you heard from Jeffrey Simmons yesterday, I think, told you everything you needed to know. I think Tua Tagovailoa in his post-game press conference yesterday told you everything you need to know about what's not happening right now in Miami. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth, you know, trying to say like, hey, you know, look, even me, you know, I turned the ball over three times. It starts with me. But then he's calling teammates out and basically pointing to a lack of discipline and accountability by saying people are not showing up to meetings. People are showing up late to meetings. That's a big deal, and you're seeing the result of it week in and week out on the field with the Dolphins.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna tell you, man. Again, ownership. This is what blows my mind in the NFL. From an owner's perspective, if you watch your team play and it's subpar play and you're not winning, whatever, and you go flip your TV on, and your quarterback, who you paid money, is talking about, like, we're at a point where he's talking about players being late to players only meeting. It's done. Mm-hmm. It's over. Fire everybody in the building. Find the quickest way out of the Tua contract that you can. Get rid of all the cancers and start over. Right? You know what I mean? Like, that is one of those deals. Like, what owner watches what goes on? Like, Jerry Jones watching what went on that last drive that got them beat last night or yesterday. Mm. Like, that, you watch that, every defensive coach should be fired today. Done. Move on. Like, you can't win with it. You're going in the wrong direction. It's not ever going to work. If those kind of things are already happening 6 weeks into a damn NFL season, you got pros out there that are getting paid good money. If they're allowing things, like, if they don't just instinctually know better.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you got to clean house and start.
Some of that's self-inflicted, though, that last point you made.
Oh, some of what?
The Jerry Jones thing.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the Dallas. That's the Dallas way. I agree. No, but the other thing that Jerry will do is Jerry will keep it in the, you know, he'll keep Eberflus as the defensive coordinator for longer than he should. And, you know, just, again, wallow in the dysfunction that is the Dallas Cowboys defense right now. They'll sell tickets because that offense is so sexy. They'll be on SportsCenter because that offense is so sexy. And they'll make a bunch of money on the flip side of it, but they ain't going to threaten a damn soul with that defense doing what they're doing. So it's rough. But all right, the Kansas City Chiefs, they showed the Texans the way last night. They showed the Texans the way last night, sitting at 2-3. How do you get back on the right side? How do you get to 500? How do you get back on the right side of the AFC? We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 60.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Sarah Jessica Parker, man, she's always done it for me.
It's a McCarum Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. That's the voice you just heard. Was that Sarah? Who was that?
Man, it's Sarah Jessica Parker.
That's your girl, huh?
I just told Tyler. I got to give him a new one.
that's your girl.
Gets Bajani
huh?
all revved up in there.
Little news, little tease here. We've got Tyler's T-Mills Best Bets that's coming up. We got a little short show today, so we're off at 5. We'll turn it over to the Texans crew. But the Tyler's T-Mills Best Bets will be at the end of the 4 o'clock hour. And, folks, he's hot. He's 12 for his last 12. What is that, Tyler? That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week. You've hit every single one of them?
Yes, sir. That's a little perfection on a three-day streak.
That is beautiful. Well, here's a little note about one of the games tonight. Commanders wide receiver Deebo Samuel, he's listed as questionable for tonight's game against the Bears due to a heel injury, is expected to play per ESPN. So, whoever you're out there, you're betting, whether it's fantasy football or you're actually putting a wager down on this particular game, or maybe it's one of them prop bets like Tyler and I like to hit on. Wide receiver Deebo Samuel will play tonight. Don't get too carried away because it's a heel injury. For a wide receiver, for a wide body wide receiver,
he's thick.
That could get a little dicey. But nonetheless, we'll keep you up on that, and stay tuned into the 4 o'clock hour. We will have T-Mills Best Bets. Boys, I don't know, did y'all watch the Chiefs game last night? Did y'all watch that Chiefs-Detroit game last night?
Yeah.
I did not.
I'm going to tell you, man, I watch, as usual, watch everything through a Texans lens, and here's the picture that I want to paint, right? The Texans are at a fork in the road on this schedule. You're sitting at 2-3. You got a chance to get to 3-3, so you can get to 500. You come home with three straight home games, right? Here's the thing, Sean. If you get to 500 by beating Seattle in primetime on the road in Seattle, then I think you can come back home confidently versus the three opponents that you have at home, right?
Yeah.
It's not a pushover schedule. There's some good opponents on that schedule here at home, but it is three home games where you come home and the thought is, hey man, let's get this ship right. Let's get above 500 and let's get rolling, right? Or you go up to Seattle, the environment, the primetime game gets the best of you. Maybe the offense slides back down to more what we thought it was the first 3 weeks of the season versus what we saw, and it scored 70 points in 2 weeks versus Tennessee and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
That fork is, does your record, because here's the thing, Sean, I think the last two games, I think it's fair to say the product that is the Houston Texans, and look, we've talked a lot about the offense, but the whole thing, the football product is closer to the top of the league than it is the bottom of the league. When you go out there and you destroy two of the bottom feeders in this league the way you did, I think the product is closer to the top half of the league than it is the bottom half of the league.
I would agree with that, yeah.
But in reality, Sean, you know, like, nothing matters other than your record.
Sure.
You're sitting at 2-3 right now, and what's sitting between you and where you're at right now and being two and four and getting to 500 and getting this thing right is a really good football team in the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
And if you look at what the Chiefs did last night, the Chiefs were sitting at 2-3. And look, I understand it's the Chiefs. I understand we're talking about the winningest franchise in the sport over the last several years. I get it. I'm not saying that the Texans are the Chiefs. I'm just saying that's the blueprint. They were sitting at 2-3. And what they did, now they did it at home against the Detroit Lions, but they had a really good Detroit Lions team come in, albeit they were banged up on the defensive side of the football. I get it. But when I watched that game, I walked away from that game thinking on both sides of the ball, the Chiefs are the better football team. And I'm not saying that they are. I'm saying in that particular instance, the product that they put out there against a really good NFC opponent was a product that you can go, yep, the Chiefs are going to get right. Yep, the Chiefs are still a contender. Yep, look out, the Chiefs could still get this thing and be real towards the end of the year and
I
be
agree
a problem.
With that. Yeah,
right?
I told T-Mill this earlier. The thing that I've noticed about the Kansas City Chiefs in the last 2 weeks is I saw them come in last week against Jacksonville. I thought they looked more like the Chiefs in instances against the Jaguars than they had all season up to that point.
Right.
Last night, fourth quarter at home, when that thing is still a football game,
yeah, yeah.
They stepped on the Lions' throat. They were making plays, you know, but they were keeping it second and manageable. So
yep.
When it's second and five, they're getting 8 yards. You know, it's third and one, they're getting 4 yards. They kept that thing moving, and they did just enough when they were supposed to do it at home against a quality opponent. Thing is, the Texans, they got to go to Seattle. They have to hell with the record, to hell with what they're doing. That's a tough place to play,
yep.
Period, no matter what kind of hole you've dug yourself in. And that's what I'm a little worried about. And the fact that, boy, Seattle, did you watch that game? Seattle and the Jags? Did they not turn up on the freaking Jags offensive line?
Yeah.
What was that, 33 pressures, 7 sacks on Trevor Lawrence this weekend? Holy crap. That's what scares the hell out of me.
They're a problem. The Seattle defense, they had a little bump in the road 2 weeks ago, and then they just turned it right back on this past week. The Seattle defense is a problem. Their offense is really good. I mean, the reality of it is I think this is an opponent. I liken it to the Chiefs because I think Detroit's a good NFC team this year. Yeah. There's still some – you look over the last several years, it's been great, but they got new offense coordinator, new defensive coordinator. And, you know, who are the Chiefs? This is a game where you got to rebound and get this thing right, and they did it, mm-hmm. right? No turnovers, no penalties. I think the Chiefs are legit contenders. I think they – right now. Now, they may not – down the road, they may turn out to be frauds. I don't know. But right now, I think you look at that product, you look at the record at 3-3. It's early in the season. Okay, I think they're contenders. I think there's a lot to be decided in that particular division and how the playoffs in the AFC – unfold.
Yeah, they got Rashi Rice yet back.
That's right. Can the Texans do to next Monday what the Chiefs did last night with the Detroit Lions? Again, I think the Texans product-wise, I think they're capable of being a top half of the league team. But the reality is the record is what counts. Can you get to 3-3 or do you backslide and get back, you know, go to 2-4 and you end up down there with teams? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the way the division, the AFC is the way it unfolds right now, man, there is a clear divide in the top, let's call it 9 teams,
mm-hmm.
and the bottom. Them bottom jokers, they ain't got a chance.
No, they way down there.
They're bad. They are bad. And there's some 1-2 lost teams,
yeah.
But they are awful, man. And so, you know, do you keep your record-wise, do you stay up there with Denver's and some of these other teams that are emerging like New England and kind of stay in that mix for the wild card?
Yeah.
Or do you start to slide back down with like the Cincinnati Bengals right now who are without Joe Burrow and they just look like they're plummeting? Like, who are you? And that is what's at stake, in my opinion, come Monday night for the Houston Texans. I think the Chiefs gave you the blueprint last night on Sunday Night Football. Paramount Football Talk on Sports Radio 16 is presented by Paramount Plus, y'all. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, we've got the Titans. We're not the only organization to fire a coach. We got a monster firing in the college football ranks. Some believe it was a little too early, a little bit of a quick trigger. Some believe that it was maybe a bit overdue. James Franklin out at Penn State. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. The debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee.
Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh, that is great, man. What a weekend in sports. What a weekend in the NFL and in college football for most of us. But not James Franklin. We've talked about James Franklin, the head coach or the former head coach for the Penn State Nittany Lions. We've talked about him multiple times on this show, and the thought of, is he on the hot seat? Is he not on the hot seat? What should Penn State do? We've had that conversation before. Well, Penn State, they fired James Franklin after three straight losses.
Oh, right? My God.
Yeah. And look, they were – I'll paint the picture of the most recent – kind of swing here. The college football playoffs last year, let's put it to you this way. Penn State last year was 13-3. They went to the college football playoffs in the first year of the expanded playoffs, right? They had two college football playoff wins, SMU and Boise State. They ended up losing to Notre Dame 27-24, right? You fast forward to this year, they took sixth-ranked Oregon to overtime 3 weeks ago and ended up losing in overtime. That was 3 weeks ago. So 3 weeks ago, you got Oregon, a top-ranked team, and you got them on the ropes. And you're since then, you lose to Oregon. And then in back-to-back weeks, he loses to UCLA and Northwestern, both of which were 20-plus point dogs, by the way. 20-plus, one was 21.5, I think, and one was like 24.5 point dogs. Inexcusable, no doubt about it. But James Franklin ultimately gets fired after that run of games. You know, look, for me with James Franklin, I've never been a big James Franklin fan. I've never been one that was infatuated. I appreciated what he did at Vanderbilt. I think that was the most impressive job that James Franklin has really ever done from a coaching perspective. Making them relevant to any degree, I think, is much more impressive than playing a soft-ass Big Ten schedule and not being able to beat the two big ones in Michigan and Ohio State, which leads me to the point of, like, if you can't beat – you can be damn near flawless, and if you can't beat Michigan and Ohio State in the Big Ten, you're going to be on the hot seat. You're going to be in a position where you just simply can't afford to lose three games in a row to somebody not named Michigan or Ohio State. You cannot lose two games back-to-back to teams that are, you are favored by over 20 points in both of those games. And ultimately, I think that's what ends up getting James Franklin fired here. It's the combination of being piss poor against the two big dogs in your division that you are viewed to year in, year out, expected to compete with and expected to win some of those games, as well as the wheels appearing to come off here the last 3 weeks. So I'm for one, I'm not shocked that James Franklin is out in Penn State. So
I understand what you're saying, and I just don't necessarily agree with it. This guy has been at Penn State for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Half of the time, he's won at least 10 football games in a season. And these last three losses combined, I get it. They're disastrous, and it's one of the very few times, I believe, in college football history a team has lost back-to-back games when favored by that much, 20-plus point favorites. I get all that. But you've lost by a combined 12 points the last three games, and you've got three top-ranked opponents coming up on your schedule, and your starting quarterback just got hurt. Like, what's the interim guy supposed to do with that situation? That's what kind of confuses me and confounds me a little bit, in that, are you going to be able to do better? And then in this ever-changing landscape of college football, where you've gone to, hey, let's let a computer pick like the top two teams, to now it's going to be the top four teams, to now it's going to be the top eight teams, and we got it's going to be 12 teams, you know, pretty soon, whatever it is, 16 teams. You get to a playoff like Manny Diaz, who coached underneath James Franklin for a couple of years at Penn State. He's now the head coach at Duke. He was talking this morning, and I kind of agree with him, where he was saying, like, I don't know that people necessarily understand where college football is at right now. This is changing, and you're going to tell me that for a bad 3-week stretch, this guy's going to lose his job, and, oh, by the way, they have to pay him $50 million in his buyout. So you'd rather pay this guy $50 million to not coach your football team, and you're going to go get somebody else that's going to be better, that's going to maybe beat Ohio State, Indiana, Nebraska coming up on your schedule in the next 5 weeks? I don't know that I agree with all this.
Well, I think there's two things at play here. Like, I don't want to hear, to me personally, I don't want to hear about the state of college football when we're talking about Penn State. You want to talk about state of college football? Let's do that when we're talking about, Arkansas or obviously, you know, the middle of the pack teams that are struggling to keep up or struggling to pay a coach or whatever. I mean, Penn State, ultimately, I'm not saying they have everything that everybody has, but Penn State is one of those top three in that conference, in the richest conference in the game, that in terms of what they have to work with. And so, I just don't think at this point in your time in your career that your program, given what you have, I don't want to hear about what Duke has. Right, I know Duke doesn't have what Penn State has. I just think that dynamic, you've been there that long, it's that established, and you haven't beaten the teams that you need to beat. You've beaten everybody else, but you hadn't beaten the teams that you need to beat, and now all of a sudden this tidal wave hits you. And I'll be honest with you, I agree with your point of, like, what does that mean for the rest of the season? I don't think they care. Like, this is a play to me. I'm going to pay you $50 million so that I can go out there and I can get my next coach before everybody else starts firing and hiring. Mm-hmm. Like, this is – Kurt Cignetti, the guy that's at Indiana, is a Western PA guy. Mm-hmm. I think this is a play to get a head start or get a lead on going after Kurt. Now, how much does Kurt's agent play when he could potentially make a national championship run at Indiana?
6-0 right now.
How interested – with a huge win at Oregon, right?
Yeah.
How interested is he in general? Matt Rhule at Nebraska, which to me, Matt, I think I saw a deal yesterday. Matt Rhule's lost 17 top 10 matchups or something, and so I don't know if that's a huge upgrade. But Matt Rhule, I think he played at Penn State. So I think this, to me, Bijani, this is not a, boy, the rest of the season, we're going to save the rest of our season. To me, this is a play of, we're going to pay you to get your ass up out of here and establish that we're going to get in front of the line here on our top three candidates, and we're going to go get the best guy for the job.
I get it, but, you know, just a bad 3-week stretch. And I know, okay, so you haven't beaten Michigan, you haven't beaten, like, top-ranked teams, okay, and this is proven over the course of a 12-year period, but how many of those years were people looking at Penn State as like, dude, you're not even supposed to be here as a program because of the whole Paterno fallout and everything? And you've had to take, what, 2 years of Bill O'Brien? And then here comes, you had the interim situation once O'Brien left, and Franklin takes over in, what, 14 or 15? And he's had a hell of a run at Penn State. Like, you better be damn certain you're going to get a guy that can be better than that. Because $50 million is $50 million, and winning, you know, 6 out of the 12 years, double-digit wins, and giving a fan base, a program, a city, a school, like, something to cheer about again that thought it was going to be in football hell forever, you know, a decade and a half ago or whatever it's been now.
Yeah.
That is a tall task for me, in that I'm just saying, should 3 weeks define, like, of you having a job or no job when you've clearly got a pretty damn good success record, a pretty good back of your football coaching card, you know, to go off on? Who says he could not have turned this thing around? Like, you don't give him an opportunity to turn it around against the number one team in the nation in 2 weeks. That's pretty crazy, because you did just take, at that point in time, an Oregon team that was, like, what, number two or number three in the country?
They were up
to double overtime, like, 16 days ago.
Indiana just beat.
Yeah. I get it. Indiana's pretty good. They won 11 games last year. They're 6-0 this year. They've been like the talk of the town in college football.
Well, you know, you speak of Indiana. I mean, that Kurt Cignetti is the hottest man in college football right now, and I think Penn State made a move. Indiana beats Oregon on the road at Oregon 30-20. I mean, he's taken Indiana, and I don't know that he's planted the flag of we're one of the powerhouses, but he damn sure for the time being has put them on the map. And the college football playoffs last year, and now it looks like they're well on their way back to the college football playoffs this year. I know it's early, but we had him at the Bear Bryant Awards.
Yeah,
we got to interview him. He's the kind of guy that sits down across the table from you, and I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I buy everything he's selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like because I'd never talked to him before. He had the success at Indiana. I was anxious to get a chance to sit across the table from him. He sits down, and I left that conversation. You know, a lot of those guys you sit down with, and you're like, how in the hell did that guy land that job and have that level of success? The minute he gets up, you're like, yep, I get it. All the way from, like, when he walks up at first, you're like, it's older white dude that looks kind of straight-laced. That ain't, and then he sits down and goes to talking, and you're like, nah, this dude got some juice.
Yeah.
This dude's got some juice. This dude, you can understand where he can walk into any home and convince, you know, folks to come to Indiana over some of the other places. You understand where he could do more with less. You understand where he could go into the transfer portal and really convince guys that he could make them the best version of themselves. And so I think the Cignetti guy, I think he's for real, man.
I mean,
whether it's Penn State or you know, wherever. Maybe he stays at Oregon. That'd be a cool story. At Indiana, that'd be a cool story.
Yeah, it would. He's got a hell of a track record. You know, like, he came in with James Saban Madison. In Alabama.
Yeah.
And that, to me, already says a lot. Like, when Saban kind of handpicks you and you get 3-4 years under a guy like that, you learn a thing or two. And well, he'd been around
he
before that.
Then he went to James Madison and did really well and took half that team to Indiana to crank this Indiana thing up. I believe that he's the one that did that. And that's kind of how that's kind of how this thing took off for him. But he's got it rolling, man. Indiana 30, Oregon 20, and I think Indiana's going to
– Don't get comfortable, Indiana.
I'm going to tell you, though, he is – where I was going with that, he is a guy that strikes me as somebody that would be like, nah, I'm good at Indiana. As crazy as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
He strikes me as a guy that I could see going, you know, the expectations right now at Penn State aren't real. Like, that's not fair. That's not a healthy place for me. Like, I could see him liking where he's at right now. Not that he'll do it, because it would be crazy, but he is a guy that strikes me as somebody that would think outside the box and maybe make a decision a little differently than the money would tell.
Age have something to do with it? I mean, he's 64, 65.
He sure didn't come across as that, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just going home, being from there, I think is the biggest factor. If he wants to go back to that, I think that's the only thing that would ever sway me if I were a coach like that, where I was having big success somewhere. Going back home where you were born and raised, where you your dad was a fan of this school, and it's what, you know, it was all over the walls of your house. The opportunity to go back to that place and win a national championship there would be a really cool thing to do, and so that's why I give Penn State a real shot at Cignetti. We'll see how they end up. See how it ends up coming to fruition. Best of luck to Indiana moving forward. Obviously, this season it is one hell of a story. All right, we got some Major League Baseball playoffs that are going on, and some wild endings, some wild beginnings. It was a good weekend with playoff baseball. None better than Sean Bajani to circle back to that and cuss and discuss. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.